the change of how much I appreciate the help I got from Nalas besides him.
Quote number 13 from Bala Sulam, letter 51. The mitzvah, go out of the permanent housing and sit in temporary housing. That is, know that it is only temporary housing, and the banished one will not be cast out from him. It is as was said, even if the whole world tells you that you are righteous, be wicked in your own eyes. This is also the meaning of the words, and you will be completely joyful. This is why the festival of the harvest, Sukkot, is called the time of our joy. To tell you that one should sit in the shade of the sukkah in great joy, just as the king's house, the kingdom's most eminent, sit is as dwell, without any difference whatsoever. And yet, he should know that he is sitting in the shade of the sukkah, meaning the waste of barn and winery. However, under his shade I delighted to sit, because he hears his word, go out of the permanent housing and sit in temporary housing. And both are the words of the living God, and his exit delights him as much as his entrance.
Rav, what does it mean in our life to always yearn for the temporary residency and see that as our permanent residency? How does it happen in our life that we always yearn for temporary residency and see it as our permanent possible, like Hanukh said in the beginning, excerpt 14, this is from Rabash, the Ushpizin. Baal HaSulam interpreted the matter of Ushpizin, the Sukkot guests, that it is a matter that is introduced in the Zohar by a way by which to pass for the light of Chokhmah cannot shine in it consistently. For this reason, the guests love that he will have a spacious place. But when they come and the place is narrow, they cannot enter. This means that the light of Chokhmah cannot shine unless by clothing of Chasadim. And Chasadim is called wide, and light of Chokhmah is called Ushpizin. Therefore, if he has no Chasadim, it cannot clothe.
This means the light of Chokhmah is clear to us. It can only clothe on the light of Chasadim, and the intention in order to bestow. The greater you have an intention in order to bestow, you have a broader space. The light of Chasadim gives us latitude. According to the latitude of the light of Chasadim, you have depth for the light of Chokhmah. That's why every day in the 7 days of Sukkot we have to broaden and broaden the Chasadim. Then every day we get more and more light of Chokhmah into the depth. And that's called Ushpizin. In what way do we broaden the light of Chasadim? And what's the connection between the broadening of the light of Chasadim and the depth of the light of Chokhmah? Seemingly, these are two opposites. Different vessels. One is in the vessels of reception, the other is in the vessels of bestowal, and one is latitude, the other is longitude. Just as Chokhmah wants to receive, Bina rejects the reception. How, by broadening the space in bestowal and Chasadim, do we actually build the space to accept the guests, meaning the light of Chokhmah? Go ahead.
Rav, according to what formula the expansion of chasadim determines the depth of the light of chokhmah. According to which formula, the expansion of chasadim determines the depth of the light of chokhmah? Rav, light of chasadim, you can liken it to the collective or the breadth, as we say, mighty in quantity. The light of chokhmah, you can liken it to a particular, to mighty in quality. What relation is there between the two of them? By which formula are they related or connected? Please.
Rav, what happens? How do we feel if we have a lot of light of chasadim and a little bit of light of chokhmah, or a little bit of light of chasadim and a lot of light of chokhmah? How do we feel if we have inequivalence between chasadim and chokhmah? Once chasadim more than chokhmah, and once chokhmah more than chasadim. So what do we feel as a result? And how should we react to it? To correct it so that there is equivalence between them and mutual clothing. Balance is man's work.
Rav, is it possible to say that the thatch is the arvut and the reception of the Torah, the sun that shines is the giving of the Torah? Is it possible to say so? That the thatch is the arvut and the giving of the Torah is what shines above the arvut as the light of the sun. Please. The thatch, the schach, is the screen, masach.
Rav, so what do these holidays symbolize, which are all signed on the day that is called the joy of Torah? Go ahead.
Quote number 15 from Rabash, volume 3. Well, Rabash, article 893. The fruit of the citrus tree. These four kinds, some of them have taste and smell, like the citron, which corresponds to the righteous, in whom there is the spirit of Torah and the taste of good deeds. The tree on which the palm branch grows has a taste but no smell. This corresponds to the intermediate in Israel, in whom there is a taste of mitzvot, but not the spirit of Torah. The myrtle has smell but no taste. It corresponds to those who have the spirit of Torah, but no mitzvot. The willow has neither taste nor smell. This corresponds to the uneducated people, in whom there is neither the spirit of Torah nor the taste of mitzvot. We bundle the four together, implying that the Creator does not reconcile with Israel until they are all one bundle. as was said, who builds his ascents in the heavens and establishes his group on the earth. When does the Creator become ascended? When we all become one bundle. Again, the fruit of the citron tree. These four kinds, some of them have taste and smell, like the citron, which corresponds to the righteous, in whom there is the spirit of Torah and the taste of good deeds. The tree on which the palm branch grows has taste but no smell. This corresponds to the intermediate in Israel, in whom there is the taste of mitzvot but not the spirit of Torah. The myrtle has smell but no taste. It corresponds to those who have the spirit of Torah but no mitzvot. The willow has neither taste nor smell. This corresponds to the uneducated people, in whom there is neither the spirit of Torah nor the taste of mitzvot. We bundle the four together, implying that the Creator does not reconcile with Israel until they are all one bundle. As was said, who builds his ascents in the heaven and establishes his group, his bundle on the earth. When does the Creator become ascended? When we are all one bundle.
Why must everyone be as one bundle? And in that bundle, we still have uneducated people and all kinds of people kind of in between, and those below. I would say that those great, special united ones must stay, or everyone should achieve their degree. No. Why specifically, even at the end of correction? Are there, in every person, even, these four discernments, four species, four kinds, even at the end of correction, you have those four kinds, and what's important is that they're all united together. What's the benefit from keeping all the kinds, and what counts is the connection between them? How do they complement each other, where wholeness is specifically by everyone existing, yet everyone connecting? Go ahead.
Rav,
why do the great righteous sages need the uneducated, limited people? Why do they need them? What do the righteous people need that they can't be adhere to the Creator if they are not in one bundle with those ordinary, uneducated people? Do you understand? Gershon, do you understand? Why are you doing like this to me? Let's say in your family you have good ones and not so good. You have smart people and not so smart. You'd like everyone to be good and smart, right? Naturally. So they're telling you, no, not this way. Just imagine, you have the whole world as your family, even more than your closest family, your kin. And you're saying, no, you need to have this and this and this and that. Why do you agree to it? Go ahead.
Why the world looks the way it looks.
It is written that the Creator ascends specifically when everyone becomes one bundle. What can we demand of ordinary people for them to want to be as one bundle? They all have to work from where they are. But the work is done mainly through the upper ones, the sages. Those who understand what it's about. So the Creator ascends when everyone is in one bundle, without exception. He doesn't want 100% successful sages, smart people. He wants everyone equally as one bundle. How should we take some sort of rule for our dissemination from this?
We have to be an example also.
Rav, how does it happen that instead of the schach, the thatch, we get clouds of glory? How does it happen that instead of the schach, we get clouds of glory?
Maybe also quote number 16, Bala Sulam Shamadi 85, what is the fruit of goodly trees, of citron trees in the work? Before one is rewarded, he has two hearts, and this is called lo lev, no heart, meaning that the heart is not devoted solely to the Creator. And when he is rewarded with the discernment of lo, to him, meaning a heart to the Creator, this is the lulav. Also, one should say, when will my actions reach the actions of my fathers? Through it, one is rewarded with being a branch of the holy patriarchs. And this is the meaning of boughs of fig trees, which are the three myrtles. Yet, at the same time, one should be in the form of willows of the brook, tasteless and scentless. And one should delight in this work, even though he feels no flavor or fragrance in this work. And then this work is called the letters of your unified name, by which we are awarded complete unification with the Creator.
How do we aim our hearts to the Creator, meaning to the quality of bestowal and absolute love, from all of our qualities, from each and every one, and how do they all connect together? The heart of each one also comprises these four parts, four qualities, four degrees of the desire, 1, 2, 3, 4. How do the hearts connect among them? Like cogwheels. With these discernments. Taste, smell, whatever you call it. How do they complement one another? Go ahead. Hidden force.
Rav, how do we know, how can we be certain, how can we measure that the merging between us, between the four kinds of people, matches Havaya? Maybe we have too many dumb people or smart people. All kinds. So, how do we know that our merging matches the original Havaya to some extent? I see things the way it seems to me.
Why, Rav, why? On the condition that we annul ourselves before the ten is rewarded with the Creator finishing for us. Meaning, He arranges us in the correct Havaya. Why, if everyone annuls himself before the friends, the Creator connects us correctly. And everything is with the aim for the friends.
Reading excerpt number 17, Rabash, article 22, what is a lily among the thorns in the work? A person must be cautious to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven unconditionally. This is called unconditional surrender. That is, one should not say, if the Creator will give me a good taste in Torah and prayer, I will be able to do the holy work. Otherwise, I cannot be a servant of the Creator. This is as is written in the Zohar, lift up a song for him who rides through the prairies, which are Netzach and Hod, which are thighs. They do not bear fruits. It is all like the willows in the palm branch. It is known that the willows in the lulav, the palm branch, imply that the work should be done in the manner of willows. Although the willows have neither taste nor smell, as Bala Sulam said about what is written, to entertain you with the willows of the brook, that is, even if he feels no flavor in the work, and it is like willows of the brook, devoid of taste or smell, during the work, they should be to men as great as entertainments. This is called unconditional surrender. And this is the meaning of what is written, rejoice before him. Meaning, be happy as though they have great attainments. This is the meaning of entertainment before the Creator. And thus we should believe. Again, Rabash, what is a lily among the thorns in the work? A person must be cautious to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven unconditionally. This is called unconditional surrender. That is, one need not say, if the Creator gives me a good taste in Torah and prayer, I will be able to do the holy work. Otherwise, I cannot be a servant of the Creator. This is as it is written in the Zohar, lift up a song for him who rides through the prairies, which are Netzach and Hod, which are thighs. They do not bear fruit. It is all like the willows in the palm branch. It is known that the willows in the lulav, the palm branch, imply that the work should be done even in the manner of willows. Although the willows have neither taste nor smell, as Bala Sulam said of what is written, to entertain you with the willows of the brook. That is, even if he feels no flavor in the work, and it is like the willows of the brook, devoid of taste or smell during the work, they should be to men as great entertainments. This is called unconditional surrender. And this is the meaning of what is written, rejoice before him. Meaning, be happy as though they have great attainments. This is the meaning of entertainment before the Creator, and thus we should believe.
ציטוט 18 מתוך בעל הסולם שמעתי מאמר יוטט מהו שהקדוש ברוך הוא
Quote number 18 בעל הסולם שמעתי 19 what is that the creator hates the bodies in the work. This matter is implied in the citron. It is written about the citron, a fruit of the citrus tree, that it should be clean above its nose. It is known that there are three discernments. One, adornment. Two, scent. And three, taste. Taste means that the lights are poured from above downward, meaning below the peh, mouth. where there are the palate and the taste. This means that the lights come in the vessels of reception. Scent means that the lights come from below upward. This means that the lights come in the vessels of bestowal, in the form of receiving and not bestowing below the palate and the throat. This is discerned as, and he shall smell in the fear of the Lord, said about the Messiah. It is known that scent is ascribed to the nose. Adornment is beauty, discerned as above one's nose, meaning scentless. It means that there is neither taste nor smell there. Thus, what is there by which one can survive? There is only the adornment in it, and this is what sustains him.
How is it that through work on greatness of the Creator, we can be impressed or inspired by not revealing Him, by not revealing Him at all, zero? How, by work on the greatness of the Creator, can we be inspired from His zero revelation? From His not being revealed, just like we read before in the previous excerpt about the willows of the brook, that the work should be completely without any flavor.
האם מתגלה לנו בכלל פעם משהו אמיתי?
Does anything real ever become revealed to us?
בכלים דקבלה, כאילו לא מתגלה.
In our vessels of reception, it's not revealed. It's forbidden. There is a Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, which is not canceled. So we're constantly going for revealing something that is unreal. All of our exercises along the way are in order to discover what? If there is a Tzimtzum, if there is no reception of the Creator in my vessel of reception, then what am I receiving? Go ahead.
Bestowal is true.
What is the difference between enjoying receiving something from the Creator or enjoying receiving His quality? Rav, what is the difference in the power of the pleasure from receiving something from the Creator? Intensity of the pleasure, perhaps, of receiving something from the Creator or receiving or absorbing His quality? What is the difference in the intensity, in the impression on the created being, if he receives something from the Creator, or if he becomes similar, he makes himself similar to the Creator and feels the Creator, becomes like Him? What's the difference in between those two states? How many times more?
Rav, so let's say that I have something that I get from the Creator, on one hand, on one channel, and on the other hand, through a different valve, I get the feeling of the greatness of the Creator. Who is the one who is giving it to me? There's a difference also in terms of who am I getting it from. So how through these two valves, how much I receive and whom I getting it from, I can reach all kinds of states, and what is the most sublime state? How do these two valves relate to one another? How I'm getting less or more, but who am I getting it from? Or how much am I getting? And also, who is it from? That's also important, but... the Creator, and I identify less with
Rav. Let's say it is pleasure and glory. I'm willing to, or respect. I'm willing to get all the pleasures, and I don't care about respect. Suddenly, respect becomes important to me. But you can't get respect unless by diminishing the pleasures a little bit. So what's the relation between them? The more I increase the respect, but I also want to keep the pleasures so they will support the request. In what correlation between should they be between them in the ideal way? This is what the Masach determines. The light of Chasadim, where light of Chokhmah is dressed. So how do I do it? So maybe...
Rav, what is the difference between the light of Chasadim, which is a clothing of the light of Chokhmah, in all of the five degrees or discernments, that were nefesh ruach neshama chaya and yichida of light of chokhmah address in it? What changes do we have in the light of chasadim on each one of these degrees from 0 to 5, or from shoresh all the way to daled, or the degrees of oviyut, coarseness, in the light of chasadim, so that the lights, the different lights of Chokhmah will dress in it, from the light of Nefesh all the way to the light of Yechidah. Seemingly, Chasadim is in breadth, so what differences can be between them? However, this is what determines what light of Chokhmah will clothe in them or will be revealed in them. So what is the difference in the Chasadim?
Summon all themselves.
Rav, that is, as much as, I mean, because they already answered in this table here, that as much as I can relate to the breadth, to everyone equally, uniformly, in a homogeneous manner, according to that, a greater intensity of the light of Chokhmah dresses in me. The light of Chasadim, if it is bestowing to everyone, if the attitude is equal to everyone, as equal as possible towards everyone, to that extent there is a more powerful light of Chokhmah that is dressed there and is revealed. This is the inverse relation between lights and vessels. The vessels are the light of Chasadim, and the lights are the lights of Chokhmah. And there is an inverse relation between them. Well, we have 10 minutes left. Do you want something else, or should we leave something else and also sing, maybe?
Shem Elokeinu, Abba Shad. Abakshato lachayayayay leman beit Hashem Elokeinu Abakshato lach leman beit Hashem Elokeinu Abakshato lach leman achai v'reyai leman achai Shalom Bach Leman Beit Hashem Elokeinu Abakshatom Lach Leman Beit Hashem Elokeinu Abakshatom Lach Ay, 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 ay Leman Beit Hashem Elokeinu Abakshatom Lach Leman Beit Hashem Elokeinu Abakshato
Lach.
Now we have a few minutes left. I want to get some reactions. After all, we spent 3 hours at a workshop. Do you have something to say? Is it hard, easy, interesting, not? Which is more, which is less? To what extent did it help your connection or not, etc.? Go ahead.
No, хочется сказать, что, конечно, неожиданно трехчасовой семинар.
I want to say that, of course, it was unexpected, this workshop of 3 hours. At first, it was very uplifting and easy and wonderful. And then some unusual heaviness settled. And only the demand, the necessity for the ten was revealed that without Arvut you have nothing you can do other than sleep.
Nice.
Something like that.
No, what?
More? Please.
И такое ощущение такое, что мы подготовку сделали с трех часов, мы все собрались мировой клин.
There is this feeling that because the whole world клин was engaging in the preparation, we awakened each other. There was a very good, strong preparation. The whole workshop was on an ascent.
Очень быстро и такие были очень-очень сильные.
These 3 hours went by really quickly and with great intensity.
Nice. More?
Ну, я могу идти выше своих животных ощущений благодаря силе десятки.
I can go above my beastly sensations and thank the power of the ten.
How?
Допустим, в семинаре.
Let's say in a workshop.
Нет сил уже семинарить, как
товарищ говорит. You don't have the strength to do the workshop anymore, like a friend said.
Насколько я вижу, как они прикладывают усилия идти над этими ощущениями.
And specifically thanks to the impression from the ten, when I see how much they're investing efforts in order to go above these sensations, that is the degree by which I'm impressed, and suddenly forces appear. Is that true?
I guess it is. You're saying it. So I guess you feel it. It's fine. Yes. Well?
Rav Havarim. Is there a correlation between Sukkot, temporary dwelling, and the random tens that we have experienced in the world kli?
There is no difference. That's what we're saying. If it's temporary, it's temporary. So what does it matter? Everything is temporary until the end of correction. And the biggest temporariness is the end of correction. It is infinite velocity, truly infinite. This is the meaning of temporary that becomes permanent. How does time disappear? Specifically because of the high frequency. Yes? Yep, that's the way it is. It may be a little contrary to... if you judge everything in the will to receive, it's difficult. But if you begin to rise a little higher than it, then you begin to see that the approach, the technical approach, helps you discover that what is temporary is fixed. It's constant. It's called the view of Torah. It's opposite from the view of landlords. And again, from all of these holidays, we can understand that connection, without any differences, but only connection. It's called love will cover all crimes. It doesn't matter what differences we have in society. If the method is that we all have to connect above all the differences, then it's a holy method. Everything else, or everyone who brings differences or brings hatred into society, is truly a klipa, a shell. So where is the manager?